If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Axar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Tonight our topic is The Perfect Divine Design, Your Ongoing Work as Spiritual Beings. Tonight I would like to begin our program with an opening exercise, which I call the Pranic Light Breath. It's a clearing and cleansing and flushing action that we're going to be doing, and I will describe the process, and then we will be doing it three times. So, first of all, you'll be taking in a deep breath, breathing in the pranic life force, and then you will flush it through your entire body from the head to your feet, visualizing pure crystalline white light. And as you breathe in through your nostrils, and you exhale through your mouth, every little particle of breath. Okay, are you ready? Take a deep breath. Bring in that pranic energy, that vitality, cosmic energy, and bring it all the way down through your body in pure white light, out through your feet. Excellent. Now one more time, take a deep breath. Bring in all that prana, all that energy, all of that vitality, and flush it through your body, cleansing, purifying, healing, releasing anything that is not for your highest good, out through your feet. And one more time, deep breath. And flow that energy, flush it all the way through your body, every cell, every nerve, every particle of your being. Flush it through. And exhale every bit of air from your lungs. This is an excellent exercise to do if you find yourself feeling clogged, if you've been out shopping, or just feel like you're jammed in your energy field. It will clear it very, very rapidly. You can also use the violet flame and use the same process. In fact, you can use different color rays depending on what you feel that you might need. If you've ever looked out on a clear day into the blue sky and notice little dark dots start to dance in front of your eyes, and then after a while they turn into brilliant little sparks, you're seeing the pranic energy that's called vitality globules or prana. And that is the life force that emanates from the sun that gives us our health and our vitality and causes things to grow. And it's this that we are to ingest, as it were. Whenever I say take a deep breath, that's what I have in mind, that we take in the energies of the cosmos and impart, nourish ourselves with this divine energy.
You know, at some point, we're going to be leaving these physical bodies. And the more we can become identified with the energy that we are inside our body, the better we're going to be with that process. So hold your hand out in front of you and see if you can sense the energy inside your hand. And as you look at your hand, realize that is not who I am. I am not a body. But I am the energy of sentiency inside that mechanism that I call my body. Now close your eyes and see if you can sense the energy without visualizing your hand. See if you can feel
energy quite apart from the body. Yeah, that's it. Good. Begin to practice that. You know, when you're mute at the TV from the commercials, take a moment and look at your, you know, your hands or your feet or whatever, and remind yourself, I am not a body, but I am an eternal spiritual being. I am the energy of awareness and consciousness itself, and I live eternally. I have never been born, and never shall I cease to be. I'm living an eternal life that has no beginning and no end, for I am part and parcel of God. And that, beloveds, is who you are. That is the truth. So we're living an eternal life right now, and our life continues on when we pass in this dimension. And it follows a perfect divine design set in place before we even took our first breath into the physical. You know, before you even set eyes into this particular embodiment manifestation, there was a plan, a perfect divine plan, orchestrated and crafted and choreographed that would allow you to manifest your full potential that you as a spirit had purposed before you decided to embody this time. The more evolved you are, the more consciously you participate in orchestrating your life with the masters, angels, teachers, and guides that are your upline mentors. There's a great precision in the planning of soul incarnations. Nothing is at random. Of course, younger souls, which this show is not actually probably something they would be listening to, but younger souls go under a general grouping, like you might say classes. They're graduated in curves, on curve grading, so to speak. But the more evolved a soul, the more consciously you choose your life path. Now, there's a permissive wiggle room for you to have an ego season, which you go about and pretend like you don't remember who you are. We all have those seasons, and they're useful. Therefore, working through karma, which is generally unconscious, and it's impulsive, and it's what you do, generally speaking, until your time and your cycle arrives for you to do your mission. You know, there's a time, the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, chapter 3, says, to everything there's a season and a time for every matter or purpose under heaven. So everything has its proper timing. So your decodement, your activation, your awakening, your stepping forward consciously to do your light work is also timed perfectly. Because you can't have all of the light workers awaken at the same time, because it would shine away the whole illusion of the holodeck, which we need for the maturation and training of souls. So everybody can't be enlightened at the same time. It'd be like all the trees, apple trees, having ripe fruit at the same time. You'd have too much fruit. So those of you who are a starseed are at any given generation a very small percentage of the populace. And so you're like the leavening that's sprinkled in the loaf that causes the whole loaf to rise. And as such, your awakening is very meticulously orchestrated so that you can be just the right component to the lifting and acceleration of vibration and the raising of consciousness in any given period. So tonight we will be journeying together into the worlds beyond the physical dimension. We'll be examining patterns, cycles, timelines, and work in the higher dimensions. And so, as our lives flow along a preset pattern, with the perfect time for each event to occur, the more matured we are in spirit, the less we sweat the process, the more content we are to be in the season and cycle that's at hand. And as our spiritual maturity increases, we find ourselves less and less and less concerned with life's foibles. And we live increasingly by trusting the divine design and perfection, which guides, molds, and orchestrates the details of our lives. Would that we could see from a higher perspective the perfect weaving of the events of our lives, both major and minor. We would at once surrender all judgment, all fear, and all worry and concern. We would live in an innocent trust and perfect peace. Is such a state possible, you might ask? Well, yes. That's the very lesson we will all eventually learn from our being dipped repeatedly into this third-dimensional perspective. This is the realm of veils and forgetfulness. But ones of wisdom, the very evidence of soul progression and maturity in ones of wisdom, is revealed by the serenity, composure, and peace in which an old soul patiently accepts his lot in life. And that's not apathy. As the old saying goes, you change what you can change. What you can change, you don't have to endure. But what is inevitable and what is present and what persists, you deal with it because that is what you have placed there to learn, train, teach you, whatever. So the wise and illumined one knows that in time, all things come to him. I guess the saying is all things come to him who waits. So fishermen know this principle real well. They know if they sit quietly long enough with a bait and the line in the water, something will bite. So part of that patience that an old soul exhibits comes from understanding the law of cause and effect, or karma, and rebirth, or reincarnation. And reincarnation was taught in the early Christian churches. It was taught in ancient Judaism. It was taught and is still taught in the Orthodox, Eastern Orthodoxy of the various Christian denominations, Greek, Russian, and so forth. And it was sort of implied as a known fact at the time of Jesus. But about 325 A.D., the Council of Nicaea took it out of the Christian doctrine for whatever reason. And so we don't have a real clear understanding in the Western world, generally speaking, of the appropriateness of the things in our life as being the effect of causes and momentums that were set in place at an earlier time. And again, what you can cure, you don't have to endure. In other words, you work with your process to see if you can step free of it. But if you can't, if you come in with a heavy burden of karma, you learn how to work with it in a way that you can allow yourself to step free through grace. And that's the process of where you put your life and your situation in the hands of God, the Lord, and you ask the Lord to show you the lesson behind that particular condition so that you can work with it consciously and proactively. And sometimes you're healed. Sometimes whatever the situation is, it just vanishes once you've learned a lesson, once you've surrendered your life to the Lord. You know, there's no need for karma. Because the whole process is to learn how to live in love consistently, how to walk in peace consistently, how to walk in understanding and clarity consistently. Once you've done that, you're free. You're karmically free when you learn how to live above conflict. So in time, likewise, every desire and longing of the consciousness will be and must be fulfilled. Why? Because as long as you have a desire, you've created the fulfillment of that desire. That's why you go, let's put it this way. If you have physical desires, that will require that you return physically to reap or to receive that desire. So to reduce your length of stay here in the lower third dimension, you learn to put a ceiling, a cap on those desires. You don't let your desires run your life. And I love what Yogananda said. He said, "All things I desire await me in God. But I cannot wait for anything in my pursuit of God. I must have God at the cost of everything else." And so when our attitude is that, when our desire is to know God, to serve God, to be more closely attuned and merged with the divine principle, once we get to that stage, then our desires become blessings, which are karmic free. They don't have karma when your desire is to have more of reality, more of truth. And of course, you will naturally gravitate to the higher levels. You won't be bound by that type of karma. But even good karma has its reward that you have to receive. You might say, well, I have to receive? Yes. There's a whole plane called the karma, manasic plane, which means the plane of desire and the plane of thought forms, where you reap the merit of your good deeds. Yeah, you have a certain payback for everything you do. That's what the word karma, which comes from the root kri, to do or to act, that's what that means. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So the only way you can escape from good karma, and that may seem really crazy to some of you, but you have to escape the good karma too, is to offer all of your actions to the Lord. When you know, like Jesus did, Jesus said, I of myself do nothing. I do only what the Father tells me to do. Bottom line. That's the model. You do everything in the name of the higher principle, or God, or the Lord. When you do it that way, and you surrender the sense of owning your doing, you step free through grace and you don't have karma as a result of your action. And that's called the state of Jivan Mukta. It's a person who's living in the world but is not of the world and creates no residual from passing through the world. And that takes a tremendous amount of conscious awareness. You really can't go to sleep on that. If you want to be free, you have to be very conscious what you're saying, what you're doing, what you're choosing every moment. And who's doing? You know, who is doing the doing? So as we began to identify in that process, we started with looking at your hand, and you begin to identify the energy behind the form. Begin to see if you can sense your whole body as energy. You know, you can close your eyes eventually and be able to sense your whole body totally apart from physicality. We all go to that state just before we go to sleep, when you get kind of dispersed in your feeling, or you start to go into a deep level of meditation, you go into that kind of feeling of energy dispersion. So like that, practice that again and again until you get a real aha, a real epiphany. Wow, I am not a body. I am spirit. I am immortal spirit. And then realize that that spirit inside you is identical with God. That is the life prana. That is the life force. That is Almighty God living in you, as you, as eternal life, awareness, consciousness, intelligence, illumination. That's it. So, these are very, very simple techniques that will bring you right into self-realization the more you practice them and the more you begin to distance yourself from identifying as the doer and identifying with yourself as a body. Those of you who have a great deal of pain, the way to escape pain is to bring your consciousness to a level where you're more focused on your energy, your inner energy, than you are your physical sensations. You might say, well, what's the difference? Well, those of you who are meditators, who are trained at holding your consciousness at the third eye, know exactly what I'm talking about. Because when you're focused in the soul is located throughout the body as sentiency and through every strand of DNA. But in terms of location and focusing, basically if you close your eyes, and put your finger between your eyebrows, a little bit above your eyebrow line, above the bridge of the nose. That's your third eye, or your tisra til. And that eye looks upward straight to the crown chakra. It looks out in the front, directing. And it looks out the back of your skull. If you look forward through your third eye, you can look into the future. If you focus your consciousness in the back of your occipital area of your consciousness, like a cone of energy, you can look into the past. And you can exit your body if you just go directly straight up through your crown chakra. And you begin to withdraw your awareness, your focus, into the sentiency of the body. You know, people often ask me, what is it like to die? What happens when we die? Well, as a minister, I've been present with quite a few people as they've made their transition into another dimension. I assisted my mother quite consciously when she passed over, and my father. And I've been present with my spiritual teacher, who happened to leave her body in my arms. And many other souls that I've been present in ministering to at the time. In every case, they were very much at peace and very smiled. You know, there was a wonderful joy with their passing. One young man that traveled with another commander and myself, that we did the Ashtar Galactic Command journeys together. When he passed away, he started to become more and more clairvoyant just the days before. He knew who was going to come visit him. He knew what they were going to bring him. He knew what they were going to say. It was like he had expanded into his soul body where he could actually see people from a higher level. And so the day of his passing, he suddenly sat up in bed and he said, Jesus has come for me. I have to go. And he left. I can imagine a more sacred way to leave. And this man had quite a colorful past, a past that you would not imagine would earn such a glorious passing in the spirit, which just goes to show you that God is no respecter of individual persons or individual patterns, because God looks at the heart. God doesn't look at your outer form or what you've even done necessarily. He looks at your heart, the intention behind your actions. And this young man earned the right of going directly to the Lord. So, departing our physical bodies, what happens is that, and I personally have had five, maybe more, near-death experiences myself, so I'm speaking also from my own direct experience. Your attention and awareness begins to withdraw from the sensation, sights, and surroundings of Earth. And you begin to become more aware of the inner planes and the beings on the inner plane. So there's like a bleed-through of those two levels for the time when you're really, really approaching that last crossover. With people who are very, very ill, sometimes this lasts a little bit longer. But people in that state often will be seen talking and referring to people and things that cannot be seen by the people around them necessarily. So part of this is the resolving and the completing of their life experience. And part of it is their beginning that journey, that transition from one level of life to the next level of life. And it is a level of life because you never cease to be. You're not going to go unconscious and not be aware of yourself. You're going to go into another life exactly the same as if you had walked from one room in the house to another room in the same house. And so the earth just starts, and the things of the earth start to gradually fade away, sort of fade out. And what begins to become fading into your awareness is this other level. And it's supremely beautiful. There's a love, there's a light, there's a wonderful sense of relief and release. And the last of the senses to be withdrawn is the sense of hearing. So, as you feel this sense of immense freedom and joy and relief, and if you've had pain, the pain is gone, and you're in that energy body that we're going to be experiencing more and more. You're in that energy body. And you have a sense of being able to sense the big picture. You've just expanded your sense of being able to see and hear. It's like you have a surround sound and surround vision. you can also see and hear what's taking place around your body for a while, because you will see your body lying on the bed or wherever it is as if it was an empty shell. It'll look quite different when you're out of it. You'll also have standing in your immediate presence the form of your master, if you're an initiate of a master, or the Lord, the Avatar, or Jesus the Christ, or a spiritual mentor if they have the ability to serve in that way, and or the angel of death. I love the program Touched by an Angel because you got a real sense of what it was like and how lovingly people are escorted out of the body at the time of death. I think that was beautifully presented. And usually the angel takes a very beautiful form as, you know, someone that's very loving and often human in looking, you know, not necessarily something that's winged and strange, but something that's familiar and endearing to you. And that was a wonderful TV series that accurately depicted the arrival of the angel of death and the proper timing, at the proper timing for the soul's departure. Now, the time that you leave your body is also preordained. But the more advanced the soul is, the more choices or windows of opportunity for departure that you have that present at different times. And you can choose them or not. I've been told many times that I was free to go anytime I wanted to. And each time I was, I chose to stay because, you know, people around me or my children or whatever. And so many of us do that. We decide to stay on. So nobody dies before their time. Now, in terms of you star-seeded souls, when you cross into the other level, if you want to, if this is where your heart is focused, you will return, to the Ashtar Command. We were with George, Van Tassel, my husband and I, when he crossed out of the body. And he was immediately with the Ashtar Command and with Ashtar. And he said, "Hey, you guys, it's great over here. Wow, you got to come over here. You got to see this. Wow, it's fantastic." And he was very conscious and very, very excited to be over there. And he just went on with his work in the Ashtar Command, you know, just went on with his life. So all souls, as far as I'm aware of, pass through Arcturus. Arcturus serves as a heavenly clearing and processing station. And one experiences your life review there. You sit in a big theater and you see your life from the very, very moment you took your first breath all the way through to your last breath. And you experience the sights and the sounds and the feelings and the repercussion of the actions. And you see very clearly where you failed. You see very clearly where you were in attunement spiritually. You see your mistakes. You see your, you know, all the good things and all the bad things and everything in between. So you really judge yourself. And when you're in your soul body, it's very clear to you what you haven't really mastered yet. And most souls want to come back and master themselves if they've not done as good a job. In fact, that's one of the first questions that you're asked is, how do you feel you did in this lifetime? You know, what was your successes? What were your failures? Is there anything you would have done differently? You know, you're asked. And the most important thing every soul says when they come back from a near-death experience is that nothing matters but the love. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Whether or not you were neat or clean or whether or not you were dysfunctional or whatever, whether or not you were perfect on your job, none of that matters at all. The only thing that matters was the loving. Were you loving? Did you love? How much love did you share through your life with others? It all boils down to that. All of your whole life reduces to the nectar of love. And so that's why it said if you have everything in the world and you don't have love, you're empty. You have nothing. Because God is love. And we probably, in the human state, don't even know what love is. We know what lust is. We know what desire is. We know what attachment is. But love doesn't have any dwindling, no matter what happens. It's unconditional, it's pure, it's ongoing, it's always there. Most of us can be put off rather easily. You know, somebody just has to, you know, really ruffle our feathers and offend us really good, and man, we're out of there. That's not love. That's something else, but it's not love. So we are here to be embodiments of divine love. And what keeps us from having that divine love are ego states of anger, envy, jealousy, irritation, impatience, intolerance, judgment, a critical spirit. All of that stands between us and experiencing ourselves as pure bliss, which is love. It's Ananda. Ananda is love, is bliss, is that sense of wholeness, that shalom, that shanti. It's all of that, that nirvana. So, all souls pass through Arcturus and are processed and have a life review. And they meet with celestial counselors. And then they will be assigned to whichever level is most appropriate for their ongoing progression. Some, for example, that souls that die suddenly in war or traumatic situations or through traumatic illness or after very strenuous lifetimes will go to what's called the Hall of Rest. My father, who was a beautiful colonel and had served valiantly in the Second World War, he passed away in not from the war, but later from emphysema. And I found him on the inner plains in the Hall of Rest, which I went to visit him, and it looked like a large dormitory. And there were spiritual helpers moving very quietly and ministering, you know, to the people in that level. But these were all people that required a period of time where they could rest, where they could have a certain refreshing in their essence before they were awakened and then brought into their counseling and their assignment, wherever it was they were to be assigned to go. So I sat on the edge of the bed and talked to my father, and he wanted me to know that he always repeated the name of God. He always prayed to God throughout his life, because the latter part of his life he had a lot of doubts. He had seen so many terrible things happened in the war that it had shaken his faith somewhat. And so he wanted to assure me that he had his faith intact as he had gone over into spirit. You know, it just goes to show again, you don't always know what's going on in a person's mind and heart. So Earth, remember, is like a mirror-like distorted replica of the dimension that vibrates just beyond our visual range, which we would call the astral plane, the starry plane, the starry realm. So when you see, some of you have had the experience of seeing in your inner vision, stars, like star-like patterns. Or you may have seen your spiritual body glimmer like stars. Or sometimes I've seen spirit beings manifest and they look like starry outlines. That's the astral body, because astral means starry. So your astral body has like a star-like appearance to it. And when we're in those higher dimensions, I want you to know that there's trees and animals and eating and mountains and swimming and flowers and houses and things that are as vivid, as real, and as solid to us at that level as they are solid to us here in our physical body. Our senses are even more vivid, so that the pleasures that we had in the physical are even more intense in certain planetary systems that are in the astral realm, for example. So whatever you love to do, there's going to be a place on the other side where you can do it better and have more pleasure doing it. And you can eat and not, you know, balloon out with your weight. So there's a lot of perks to wait to fulfill certain desires on the other side, believe me. So when a soul has learned all that was required in that next higher dimension, they go through a similar death to be born into another dimension. So you keep outgrowing the sheath of consciousness or the body that you're inhabiting, and you move to the next one. Now, if any of you have had a dream where you faint or you die in that dream and you don't wake up but you go into another dream, that means that you have graduated from one interdimensional plane to the next. I have done that many, many times, or where you have a dream, and you dream that you awaken, and then you dream that you fall asleep, and you dream that you dream again. That is, again, a sign of moving in those other realms, and, excuse me, and dying to the level that was beneath you, and being, quote, born to the next level. So this is how we leave our incarnations on other planetary worlds that are still under the birth-death cycle in the lower bipolar dimensions, or dualistic dimensions, but have very, very long lifetimes on some of those planetary systems, maybe 500 years, maybe 1,000 years. And then, again, you can choose to leave that dimension and reinvent yourself, basically, in another body, in another level. Also, when you're in your spirit body, you manifest your clothing, your house, your everything, and your location by visualizing yourself the way you would like to be and where you would like to be and how you'd like to be. So there are three ways to accomplish this out-of-body travel thingy. Actually, there's maybe more than three, maybe five. First is astral projection. In astral projection, you move into the emotional body, the imaginative body. When you do the guided imagery, you know, like on a New Age tape, you go into the astral body. And you can project yourself into that body, too. But you only can walk around your house or you stay very close to Earth. So you have very earthbound experiences because you can't go any further than the Earth or the astral plane. Then there's mental projection, which is often by location. There you project a thought form that sometimes others can see. They'll say, oh, I saw you at such and such a place. And you'll say, but I was asleep. I wasn't there, you know. So, oh, no, I saw you there. That's where you've actually maybe been asleep and you mentally projected in your mental body to a place where somebody actually saw you. Now, if you want to bilocate, you have to bring your focus physically, your desire 100%, and your mental focus 100% to where you want to bilocate, and you will physically bilocate there. I told you some shows back that I actually physically bilocated to India one time with my intense desire to be with Sai Baba in the ashram in India. I actually bilocated for a split second before I went, wow, I'm in India. But I'm sure if there was somebody there at that particular location, they would have seen me. And then there's soul travel. And in soul travel, when you move into the soul awareness, you can go any place on any level, in any dimension, because you are unlimited when you're in soul. That's why I teach that. Then there's the near-death experience. When it's not your time to go, you are sent back. Or you choose to come back if you have unfinished business or you want to be with a loved one or whatever. And the more evolved you are, the more consciously you can and govern and control your out-of-body states and also your death states. you can really, really have more and more control over your life the more evolved you are spiritually. So, and then the fifth way, of course, you actually die. You've completed what you've come to do, and you're free, and you can leave. So some starseed today are having near-death experiences, and parts of them are leaving. And then they are returning in a new or different soul aspect of the same oversoul. And actually, that's what I did. And then there are walk-ins. There's two types of walk-ins. One type, walk-in type one, is where it's a completely different soul that or personality, let's say, individuality, who takes over that life pattern, that life plan, that incarnation, because for one reason or another, the soul doesn't want to complete it. So you allow another soul to take over your physical body, and you as a soul leave, just as you would in death. But you must return and pick up where you left off at another time. So it's only a delay from the inevitable. But for a person who is very, 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 very suicidal and morose, it is a better choice than suicide. Type 2 is where you have the same oversoul and the same soul, but it will come back in time and overlay a past time cell with a future self integration. And that's what I did. That's how I came to be here. It's called a future self integration or future self overlay. Now, in the case of suicide, when you leave by your own hand, which is a violation of a spiritual law, this sets you back and adds to your karma. Then you still have to return and finish where you left off. Plus, you need to work out the karma of the suicide. And, you know, eventually all things work out for the highest good of all concerned. But don't commit suicide. That is a very, very, very poor choice. And often it's a spirit entity that suggests suicide, so you often need to have prayer and deliverance by a good spiritual counselor, a good minister, a pastor, when you have suicidal entities around you. You must be very careful not to have death wishes or ever wish yourself dead. That creates those kind of entities that come around you. If you have done that, and many of us have done that at different times, you just ask the Lord to forgive you, ask Jesus Christ, ask Him to forgive you, or the Father, however you pray, ask Him to forgive you, and tell Him you're sorry, and that you want any effect, or any entities, or any energies around death wishes to be cleared from your consciousness and your mind, and that you be sealed through grace from any more of those intrusive thoughts. Very important to do. People have asked me what happens to aborted babies. Babies that are aborted immediately go to Jesus, and they are taken to a very, very beautiful and lovely place in the heaven worlds. And they will return at another time. Very often, that is a karmic situation with a soul that was aborted. Probably they aborted a baby in a previous time themselves. So therefore, they get to experience that. Remember, there are no victims. So when you look at it from a high enough level, you see the appropriateness of certain things that take place. And what happens in a stillborn or a crib death? Well, this is where the soul changes its mind for whatever reason. Sometimes extraterrestrials or devic or angelic beings, they think they want to incarnate, but then all of a sudden they get scared and they back out. Or whatever, you know, there'll be something that changes their minds on wanting to stay, and they leave. Again, it sometimes has to do with the karma of the parents. Sometimes the parents have created that situation for one reason or another. Sometimes there's a spiritual incompatibility that shows up. For example, the parents might start fighting or they might divorce, and the child might not have contracted to be in a broken family, and so they will back out. Many, many factors here. Many factors. So usually where a child is stillborn, they generally come back in the next pregnancy. So you get the same child anyway. Or if the child dies in infancy, very often it'll incarnate right back into that same family. Children that you adopt from orphanages, 9 times out of 10, they're your own kids. You know, almost always. It would be safe to say that everybody in your life, whether you were adopted or had foster parents or whatever, that these are souls that really are linked from ancient times in love bonds or karmic bonds or ancient associations. So again, everything is proper. Everything is divinely orchestrated. All people who are physically or mentally impaired are restored to perfect health and youthful vitality. Generally, after you cross over to the other side, you'll return to your favorite age, whether it's 18 to 25 or whatever you prefer. Some people will appear to their loved ones in a familiar form initially so that they're recognized. But gradually, they do return to their perfect youth and agility. So you're taught how to... those of you that have seen the movie Ghost, again, that was a very good depiction of how to propel yourself in your spiritual body, at least on the astral plane, because the man in the dream met with evildoers and was murdered, and so he was earthbound. He was very attached to his wife, so he was earthbound. He didn't actually go into the higher planes until he completed his work with his wife, and then, of course, he was taken into the higher planes. So sometimes that happens. Sometimes the soul is so attached to their drama in life or their situation in life that they don't want to leave. They don't want to go into the higher realms. So they're allowed a certain time to work through whatever it is they need to work through, and then they're escorted to the higher realms, like in ghosts. Now, souls that have attained liberation, or moksha, or the bliss of nirvana, are advanced souls, and these souls are free. They're free to go and come and do when and wherever and however they wish. They have merged with God, and yet they retain individual soul forms, or light bodies, so they can continue serving as divine co-workers. Thus, the bliss of merging with God, the bliss of nirvana is experienced, and also they retain individual form, which is called in the Buddhist tradition the bodhisattvas. I'm on that path. And we don't want to become the sea. We want to keep a certain degree of individuality so that we can serve. And we come from age to serve humanity, to serve people, to work with souls. And then there's times when we can merge into the supreme principle for a period of time. But if you're on that path, world savior, or the path of the bodhisattva, as it's called in Buddhism, you will naturally find yourself emerging from age to be a service to people, whether it's in the material worlds or the astral worlds, or the higher divine celestial and throne realms. And I personally have come from the throne realm, so I like to serve in the divine kingdom myself. But we have the freedom, you see, to do many, many different kinds of service on the inner planes. And what I want everyone to be aware of is that even though you are physically, seemingly, in a singular consciousness here in this earth embodiment, at the same time, exactly, you are present in the astral command. You have a body that's functioning and serving on each plane. You have an astral body, a mental body, a causal body, an etheric body, a soul body, a spirit body. You have all of these forms that you are manifesting in, and they're present as fractals throughout creation. You're holographically replicated in every atom of existence. I mean, this is incomprehensible to us, really. But because God is all-present, all-knowing, and all-powerful, and we're part of God, in our spiritual components, we are also everywhere present, all-knowing, and all-powerful. Not down here, of course. You have that limited factor of the veiling and all of that. But in your spiritual component, you have that divine, that same divine quality that's present in God, just in a smaller version. You're not the God of all that is, but you're part of the God that is all that is. So Sai Baba uses the analogy of the ocean and the individual souls as being like waves that rise for a time and see the light of day, or maybe they sparkle on the surface of the ocean as a bubble, you know, and then the bubble pops and you merge back into the sea. And you don't lose that sense of beingness, that Satchitananda, that sense of eternal inquisitiveness and bliss and life, the bliss of life. You don't lose that. You don't go into an amorphous, unconscious mass ever. And that's something to be aware of. Here's a good example. Sai Baba, who's a good example of a God-realized soul, experiences himself actually living in and as everyone. He doesn't have any perception of otherness. Everything is himself. So that's how you experience yourself when you're in what's called the monadic state, or the state of the I am that I am presence, or the state of God realization, or nirvikalpa samadhi. You have a sense of everywhere present, experiencing everything through everyone, which is totally beyond our comprehension in the human state. There's no way we can go there. But we can observe such a being. We can read their writings. We can have some vicarious relationship. That's why avatars come, so you can have that kind of an experience of seeing that level of divine life and manifestation. And it's quite marvelous to have that experience. So you are doing work, and the thing that you love to do here, you generally do on the inner planes. Like, I love to teach, I love to counsel, I love to activate and decode and work with people and help them to realize the divine self. So quite naturally, that's what I do on the inner planes. That's what I do in the Ashtar Command. It's exactly the same thing. Very, very little variation in what I'm doing here. I do there, just a lot more of it and on a wider scale. So these are things to remind yourself so you don't get so concerned about your physical enchilada down here. It's no big deal, you know. Either we're going to depart this enchilada fairly soon, or we're going to shift into another dimension and shift into another dimensional aspect of this light body. But something's going to happen that's going to make us look differently than our physical body right now. We're not going to have this aging carcass to lug around that hurts and is subject to disease and all of that sort of thing. We're going to have an immortalized body of light. And it's not going to be subject to death and disease and destruction and impairment and all that sort of thing. Most of us haven't a clue what that's going to feel like. So that's why we need to practice now. Begin to practice now. So that when it happens, well, for one thing, you can enjoy your life more now. But you can also anticipate, wow, I'm not going to be in this pain forever. Those of you who have pain bodies, it's like, this is just temporary. Or if you've lost an arm or a leg or your eyesight or whatever, you're not going to be like that forever. You're going to have eyesight again. You're going to have limbs. You're going to be able to run and dance and yell and feel great again. This is how you encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself. Encourage your friends. And nothing is lost, beloved. You know, you have things come into your life again for a time and a season. And when their time and season is ended, they pass on to make room for new experiences. New experiences. This soul wants new experiences. So go get some new experiences. Go release what you've got and clinging to. Open your hands. Let it flow out. And allow new things to come into your life. New opportunities. This is the joy of being a unlimited free spirit, is that we're always delighting in new experience. I talked to a woman the other day, and she said, guess what? I awoke, I awakened this morning, and I was a ray from the dawn. I was shining the golden ray of light. I was at the dawn. Can you imagine that? I was a ray of dawn light. And she was so excited. Well, she's from the angelic realm, so that made sense to me. And sometimes people have the most extraordinary experiences that they share with me. Where for the grace of God, they awaken to who they are at another level. It's like, wow, I was actually a color in the rainbow. Or, wow, I was weaving a galaxy. I was mentally creating a galaxy. I mean, expand the possibilities of the things that you do in your expanded multidimensional essence, even as you sit here today. So don't judge yourself. Never judge yourself. You're absolutely in no position to judge yourself. And if you don't judge yourself, nobody will judge yourself. But just work to expand and identify with your divinity more and more, with your divine components. And you're going to just find that your life takes on such a serenity, such a peace. You'll be able to yield yourself like the leaf on the wind. Because you're not going to be clutching for dear death to the impermanent and the transitory. We're in a cycle now in the United States where we just made a huge choice for change. we want something different. And the soul of America stood up and said, you know what? We now see how things are going, and we want to have it differently. We want these certain values in place. We want these certain elements of society to be addressed and life enhancement to take place. And we're tired of war and fighting. We're sick of it. So I joined with many, many Americans last night and celebrated and felt great joy. And I felt the vibration of our whole country just come into a beautiful, wow, yeah, anything's possible. Anything is possible. And so as you move into that higher degree of self-awareness, you realize everything's possible and you celebrate it. So let's go out tonight chanting, let's do the Oms with Shanti. Take a deep breath. God bless you. I'll hopefully be with you next week. Adonai.